get your holiday cheer on this Monday, December 10th at the Paradise Center for the Arts in historic downtown Faribault. Acoustic Gallery is back from 6 to 8 p.m. with the Parks and Kleist Band featuring special guest Ray Coudray. Leads a fun evening of beer and carols and ugly sweaters. There'll be a carol sing-along, ugly sweater contest, live music, beer, and art. Cost is just $10 and 50% of the proceeds go to Good Earth Village. Join the Paradise in helping keep art and camp affordable for all this holiday season. Art Zany, radio for the imagination, with your host Paula Granquist, is brought to you by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts. And now, Art Zany, radio for the imagination.
Good morning, this is Paula Granquist, and you're tuned in to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. Thank you so much for joining me today, for sitting in with us as we have a conversation about arts happening in our community, and for allowing us to perhaps wake up your imagination a little bit, and that really makes me happy to think about it. I have a little song that I've been wanting to play, and I think I'm going to go ahead and play that because I've been listening to it probably for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I just keep listening to it because it's just so calming. Maybe that's something some of you need at this time as well. It's made me really happy. And so I'm trying to keep it simple this year and trying to find the things that are the most meaningful about this season. This is a song called A Simple Gifts. It is with the fabulous Yo-Yo Ma and Alison Krauss. We'll just listen. It's a couple minute song. It's also sometimes a prayer, maybe just a meditation, but this is a really lovely rendition of it. Again, Yo-Yo Ma and Alison Krauss. Thank Yo-Yo Ma and Alison Krauss for that absolutely gorgeous rendition of that song, Simple Gifts. I found it very calming, and perhaps that's something that you need. I think it just brings joy and beauty into my world, so that's why I like listening to it. It fills my heart with love, and love is something I've been thinking about a lot in the past couple of weeks. I think sometimes, we make it complicated, but I was talking with my mom last night and about raising kids and all the challenges that come with parenthood, and I know that there's no roadmap, and every corner it seems like, oh my gosh, we just figured this out, and now there's a something else, a new puzzle, a new challenge, and, you know, kids are complicated. If you have people in your life, they're complicated, so life just is not always simple, but I think sometimes the answer is often simple. My mom told me about a time when she was really challenged by me and my sister, and she asked our neighbor who worked with youth, Mom, I'm sorry if I don't remember exactly. I think he worked with kids in the juvenile justice system, or as a social worker. I'll have to double check that. But he did a lot of work with kids who had some challenges and had difficult situations in their life. And so I'm sure she was asking about us, right? How do I get these kids through this adolescence and keep them safe and out of trouble and keep our family happy? What do I do? And his answer was something that stuck with her, and it's something she passed on to me that I think is really, really pretty beautiful. He said, all you can do is love them up, love them up, love them up. So I thought that was a really nice sentiment, and something that, you know, I hope that finds its way into your life, love. And I think it's a way to keep things simple, and life can be wild, but it can also be simple. So if we think about that simple gift of love, then hope that is a part of your season, and that you find the love that's already within you to share with everyone. And I'm going to tell you the reason I've been thinking about that is I think that the event I'm going to be talking about today is full of many kinds of love. I adore the Fine Craft Collective, and I'm thrilled today to be able to have Glynis Lessing and Juan Fried here. And I kind of forgot to double check with you, Juan. Is it Fried?
Fried, yes.
That's how I've been pronouncing it, and I thought, uh-oh. So here from the Fine Craft Collective to be a part of the show today to talk about. This is on right now at the Northfield Arts Guild Gallery. It goes from now through Christmas Eve, so it's open every day, which I think is a phenomenal thing. It is kind of this amazing treasure. They call it a pop-up shop, but I don't know. It's more than that. It's beautifully displayed. It has gifts that keep changing because the artists are continually bringing in new things. And it's just a really great place because there's so many unexpected things and so many delightful treasures that you'll find there. So I'm going to stop talking and bring in Glynis and Juan first, let's have you introduce yourselves to our audience. Folks can remember who you are. I think you've both been on before, but
we have
never together.
No, we are a husband-wife team, speaking of love. So married 32 years.
Congratulations. Thank you. A big deal.
Yeah, in this day and age, it's an accomplishment. Well, I'm Glynis Lessing. I'm a potter, and I'm not sure what else to tell you. We live out just outside of Northfield on my grandfather's farm, and
Describe your pottery a little bit so people can have a visual of...
Good idea. It's porcelain, which is white, and I do narrative imagery, which means pictures of things, not patterns. So you'll get a mug with a crow on it, or a bowl with a beautiful pattern of vines and birds on it, that kind of thing. And all my work is high-fired, very functional. It can go in the dishwasher, the oven, your refrigerator, to your table.
That's a beautiful thing about, you know, I've never thought about putting your pieces in the dishwasher.
Oh my gosh, we throw them in there all the time.
Do you really?
Yes.
Oh, that there's such treasures. I don't know.
They're less precious to me. But my whole thing is I want people to use my work. I want to make it beautiful so that your daily quotidian tasks are made more beautiful, more aesthetically pleasing. If you've got, you know, a mug you love to hold that feels good in your hand and also is great to look at.
Oh, and they are, and I love your as you call them, narrative story. They have personalities. They have, each one is individually made, right?
Mm-hmm. And so, oh yeah, hand carved, hand drawn. It's time consuming.
But it does add something when you have the piece and your shapes. I think that's something I was talking last night with Juan about, the fact that you have so many very, very challenging shapes to do in ceramics. Ovals, spouts, scallops, really tell us about that.
It's always fun for me to try to, form is also equally important to me. You know, when I was going to college at the University of Minnesota, that was, you know, Warren McKenzie was my teacher, and it was always about the form and that whole Japanese aesthetic. And so underneath all the decoration is a form that I hope, again, is balanced, is pleasing, lightweight, if I can. And it's always a little compromise between wanting to put surface decoration on. I'd love to put, you know, throwing rings that talk about the action of making the pot, but that's very hard to draw over. So things get smoothed out. But and the scallops are kind of new, and they're kind of fun, and I like fussing with pots, you know.
It's a lot of delicate work,
yeah.
and it shows, and it is one of the, I think there's more than 24 artists, is that?
I think, yes, you're right.
At the Fine Craft Collective, so thank you for being here today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Juan, let's hear a little bit about the work you've been doing.
Yeah, so I'm a metalsmith. I work with metals, other materials too, but mostly metals. It's something that I started doing maybe 4 years ago or so.
That's surprising, looking at how beautiful your work is.
Oh, thank you.
It's exquisite, and I love the contrast between you two, so you have to speak about that.
So I was an architect in Chicago for 30 years, where we lived in Chicago before moving here 6 years ago, and I started doing the jewelry. And then at some point I decided to do it as a full-time thing. So now we're full-time artists.
Your history shows in your work, because the way that you see the world has these beautiful geometric and structural and, they look architectural. So it's easy to see how that's a big influence.
Yeah, it's the things that I see around me.
Mm-hmm.
More, you know, before it was what architectures that are brought to my work, and now I see things that are around us, all the agricultural buildings and all of these things that the organic stuff, the nature that
mm-hmm.
surrounds us, and it somehow has made its way into what I'm doing. But yeah, my stuff is sculptural,
mm-hmm.
and it's wearable sculptures, and I think, you know, there's some significance to that you to be able to move around with the piece, and anyway, something that has worked out.
And if
well.
if you want to see images of their work, you can visit their website, finecraftcollective.com, or there's a Facebook page that you can visit. And each of you have your own websites too. Glynis is glynislessing.com, and Juan is metal. But there's only one L, Larcho, Metal Archo. I'm not sure how to say that.
Well, my grandfather's farm is called, he named it Larch Hill, because it's got two rows of larches that are over 100 years old. And so when he started figuring out a name, that's what he came up with, is Metal Larch Hill, sharing that L.
Yeah, that's a really lovely image, and that's a place that you can see some visuals of the work. And in fact, I think about often one of the times that you and I had an interview, and you talked about you know the milk house that you're in,
mm-hmm.
and the studio space that you have. So now that both of you are doing artwork, are you sharing that space,
You know, they say opposites attract, and it shows in our work. You know, there is he with his geometric stuff and his, you know, sort of building-oriented things.
I wish you could see the laugh on Juan's face right now.
and there I am with all my organic forms curving and swooping everywhere. I'm actually the neat one, and he is kind of messy, so I won't let him in my studio. We're still trying to figure out a way to have maybe adjoining studios, but of course, in winter, heat is always a problem, and so I'm out in the milk house with a wood heat, and he is in the basement. In the summer,
mm-hmm.
he's got a different space.
In the summer, I work at grandfather's tool shed area.
Oh, what a...
Which is where I found his hammers at the beginning and some of his copper wire. And that's what
and
I started...
a big vice. A big
yeah,
vice.
So I started hammering things. That's really what really got me started. Just a, this, you know, sort of raw way of treating metal. And also the connection with the farm. Mm-hmm. And the connection with the history of the farm. And her grandfather, who had sort of set all of this up for us.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I think about that too, that, you know, you came from Chicago, and sometimes I think young artists think, okay, I've got to move to the big city. That's where art is happening, and that's where, you know, I'm going to make it, and they dream about that. But you did kind of, you know, by coming back here to pursue art into a small town, I'd be curious to hear, you know, you've been here now 6 years?
Yes.
And so you know, have a little bit of a feeling of what this community is and this place is. How do you feel the differences? What do you think are the points of you know, contrast between those?
Well, it is a community, and it's really wonderful to be part of that community. We were certainly welcomed with open arms into the artistic community, and we're almost immediately included in all sorts of things, the studio art tour. And since then, I've joined up with 9 other fellow potters to make the Cannon Clay pottery tour. Cannon River Clay Tour, and so it's wonderful for both of us, and we were talking about how much we enjoy being part of the community and the support we get. So in Chicago, there was a community. I had a community sort of at Lill Street where I worked, but this feels like we're making things together, building things together. We're not just sort of showing up at a building, and we see those people all the time. It's still very weird to me, having come from Chicago, to run into someone I know every single time I come into town, or 20 people I know. It just depends if it's Riverwalk Market and or if it's the co-op, then I'm running. It's a party.
Mm-hmm. I know. My kids say if they want me to be fast in the grocery store, they say, I'll come with you, because if you don't, you're going to chat the whole way through.
Yeah, every aisle. So it the difference for me is feeling like I actually shine brighter here. You know, there's more opportunities for me here there than in Chicago.
It's something really interesting for people to think about. And I don't think if you're here and haven't been elsewhere, you have a sense of that. So I thought you'd be good people.
And Northfield might be a little bit more special. It may have a larger artist community. I don't know.
What do you think, Juan? Because you're fairly new to this artist. Although, did you do any metalsmithing in Chicago?
No, very little.
Okay.
Yeah. But, and again, I did it through Lill Street Studio. So there were always places, you know, that you'd have to go to in order to have that community. And here it surrounds us. And, you know, it's pretty sophisticated here, too, the type of art that's mm-hmm. being done and taught. And so that's a plus about Northfield. And the other thing, too, artists, too, benefit from that ability to do work from, you know, far from those, you know, urban. So you don't have to be in those centers necessarily, like anybody else who's doing any work here in Northfield or anywhere else, because of, you know, the connection with the outer community. I have no problem making connections throughout the world. And Glenn is too, you know, in terms of being able to promote or sell mm-hmm. our work.
Oh, yeah, social media.
That's true. That's a whole nother. So place becomes something you get to sort of where, you know, pick where your heart is, and then you, those things that were a part in the past maybe can be made without being in the middle of it.
Yeah. And of course, it's less stressful. It's easier. And, you know, Juan is on the board of Minjag now at this point up in the city. And
tell us what that organization
is. Minnesota Jewelry Arts Guild.
Oh, fabulous.
And it was started about 4 years ago. Susan Crow here locally was one of the founders. And so it's in right now we're looking at promoting educational events for our members. Our membership is around 70 right now, but we've had as many as 140 people join during that mm-hmm. 4 years. And it's 140, at least 140 jewelry artists in Minnesota.
Oh, I'm sure that,
it's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's pretty incredible. And I think that what you talk about community, the Fine Craft Collective is one of those really, I think, incredible artist communities. They're celebrating 15 years, which I think is a pretty great feat for this organization to come together. I think if you said the word pop-up 15 years ago, people might not have known what that is.
Yeah.
So that's why I hesitate to describe it as that, because it's so much more than that. But it's a shop that features regional fine craft artisans and all kinds of mediums. You have ceramics, fiber, jewelry, wood, and so much more, because it's not just that. It's a real array of highly skilled artists who come together to put their best work, and it's available for sale. It makes incredible custom gifts, right, that come from the heart and that
unique. I mean, each one is one of a kind because it's handmade.
Yes, and each one has a little story, and you can make I think the other brilliant thing is that it's based on a co-op feature, so everybody is a part of the store. So it's not like you drop off your stuff and run away.
Right.
All the artists are there, and if you're there shopping and have a question, but that artist doesn't happen to be there, they can say, "I'll give him a call," or "She'll be back on Thursday," or you can.
Right. If it's about pottery, I can definitely answer it. And a lot of the jewelers, too, I know them. I'm wearing Jessica Prill earrings right now.
Lovely.
But what's fun, again, about community is that because we're sitting in there during business hours and the other artists come in to staff their stuff, to bring more stuff in, not to staff, to check if things are selling, then we get to chat with them, get caught up. It's it's social. It's really lovely.
Yeah, and it is open. I should mention those hours. As we said, 7 days a week, and now through December 24th, from Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6, which those are great hours, lots of opportunities, and then even Sundays from 12 to 4. So there's no excuse for you to not find a space which you can come and visit and, just bring your list of who you need to buy for, and then, start wandering around and seeing what might come to mind. I think there's, something that you'll find for sure.
We're in the back gallery space. A lot of people come in and they think it's actually a show, and then they say, "Oh, you've got a desk back here." And I said, "Well, we're separate from the guild shop, which also has a lot of our work in it." And I got to say, Heather runs. Heather and Kathy Collison are the organizers.
Heather Lorenz.
Yes, Heather Lorenz, and they're fantastic, absolutely fantastic, and they just keep on top of everything. So it's great working with them, and getting to see Heather's there all the time, so I get to see her every time I come in, which is a delight.
Mm-hmm.
But the support that we get is so great from the Guild.
And that is it's something incredible. And I want to ask, because I think I was thinking about, as this theme of love has been rotating through my mind, that how does love affect your work? I think about artists and... I'm not sure how to ask the question, so maybe let's ask it this way. How does love play a role in the world of a maker?
I'll start.
Okay. One's thinking.
Well, I mean, the first thing that springs to mind, funnily enough, is that I just love what I do. And so it is still a job, and people are like, "Oh, you're so lucky, you're not really working." And it's like, no, I work really, really hard. I have to mix glaze in the winter, it's cold, or I have to, load a kiln. Or there's a lot of things to being a potter that aren't really that fun. This summer, I actually had to, it's called Reclaim. I took 800 pounds of clay scraps over to our good friends Donovan and Colleen, who are also in the Craft Collective, the other married couple, and who are potters. And he let me use his mixer to remix all the clay and pug it out into 800 pounds of clay that I can use again.
I need to know, because I don't have a good idea of what does eight, to me that feels like a cement truck size.
I know, doesn't it? Clay is very dense and heavy. So a box that is about, 12 by 10 by 14 is actually 50 pounds. So 800 pounds would be, no, that's a lot. Well, I can't do math, especially in public.
It's okay. So it's as boxes that fit in a pickup truck, maybe?
Oh, yeah. No, I took it all home in my van in a pile. It's not bad at all.
Okay.
It's just very dense. But anyhow, we're off the subject. But the point was is that that is the not fun part, except bragging about it. the fun part, of course, is just simply sitting and making and being in flow. And so that's, and being challenging myself continuously to come up with new ideas and new things. And, that's why I don't mind doing each one individually, because it's, I would be bored otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of the love is the tremendous support when we had kids and Juan was an architect. The love I got from him to go ahead and do what I was doing and build that career very slowly and spend that time building my skills. And of course, the love we have now, you know.
And that's what I was going to talk about, is what we have now, being able to work as artists in the same place, not necessarily share a studio and all of these things, you know, the daily stuff.
We do want to stay in love.
But just, we don't necessarily collaborate in our work, but we definitely bounce things back and forth,
oh, yeah.
You know, and that's, and when you're looking at it, it's not just the creating of something, but, you know, the evolution of the ideas and everything. It just reinforces the things that we have in common in terms of thinking and the things that we love about the world that surrounds us, and we share that all. This gives us an ability to share it all the time and to maintain that kind of sort of intellectual and otherwise, you know, conversation going
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because I guess part of what made me ask that question was, I think, you know, sometimes you can taste love in food. You know, you'll be with a chef who you just know that they're like putting their heart, and they love what they do, and it comes through. And so I think that's true of art as well. You can tell when an artist really loves what they do, and they found their voice, their place, their, you know, expression, and they want to share and make that connection. So I was curious, you know, and especially with you two as a couple too, how that comes through. So that's really fascinating. And
I mean, I think we spend hours apart working alone in our spaces. But, you know, every once in a while we'll break out of there. We went to the museum of the Art Institute the other day, and it was much needed, I think, especially, I mean, probably for both of us, but for me, because I've had my nose to the grindstone. And then to just talk about what we're seeing and the inspiration that comes from those things. And you know, we looked at a lot of pottery, and I thought, oh, God bless Juan for putting up with looking at more pottery, you know, but they have a great deal of great pottery at the Art Institute. So that was like a date, it, you know, it was really fun. It's not all peaches and cream, but
yeah, I would imagine, you know, a lot about each other, and then to try and have, you know, as you're saying, your expressions in your artwork are so different, and to be able to, you know, guide each other or support each other, you have to really be careful when you're talking about somebody's creative process. And, you know, he's not a ceramic artist and you're not a jeweler. So and, you know, being able to communicate that is, you've got to find that space, like you said, so you can stay, to stay in love.
No, but it's great. He'll come in and say, oh, that's really cool. Or he'll show me what he's working on. And I'm like, that is there. You've got it. You've got it. You know? So I think we both really enjoy each other's work, admire it, and appreciate it.
That's yeah. Probably a key.
Yes, that's true. Absolutely.
Well, let's talk more about the Fine Craft Collective, which we're talking about today on Art Zany Radio. This is Paula Granquist. I'm here with Juan Fried. I did that. I caught myself.
It's the spelling.
I know it is the spelling. And Glynis Lessing. They are just two of the artists that are a part of this incredible collection at the Northfield Arts Guild Gallery. So it's right downtown Northfield on Division Street. So you can go into the Northfield Arts Guild. The gallery is at the back of the building. So you'll walk past the gift shop, up the steps and past the gift shop. But you certainly should check out the gift shop as well, because many of the artists that are there have things in the mm-hmm. gift shop, or other artists in the community that you may want to connect with. The website is finecraftcollective.com. They have a lovely little bio about everybody and some pictures to give you a little heads up on the kinds of crafts that are made. And also, they have a Facebook page, Fine Craft Collective, which probably talks about the special events coming up. One of them is First Friday Art Night, which is December 7th. Wait, that's tonight.
It is.
Oh gosh, that's tonight.
It is tonight. Meet the artists.
5 to 9. So tell us what is going to be in the gallery for the.
A lot of artists will be in the gallery.
So if you want to learn from the artists, more than usual will be present.
Yeah.
And everybody will have obviously the each person has kind of a, you can tell whose art is, because each of you have your own display space.
We do.
So they're not mixed as you would in a store.
Not at all.
And so I think that makes it easier to, you know, be able to browse and know.
I agree.
My mom said she loved, you know, Earrings by Leanne Strumka, so I'm going to go over there and make sure I see that and see what she's working on.
That's what a lot of people do, is they come in with a loved one, and then I see them come back about an hour later and furtively buy something. So,
yeah,
you know, bring your loved one in, ask them to admire things, and then you will have your Christmas list taken care of.
That's a really good point. Yeah, and you also, I think, I don't know if I should be saying this, because this has happened to me maybe a couple times, where I've come in, maybe it's, you know, December 23rd, but you are always, there's always beautiful things there, but you also do a little gift wrapping.
We do.
Did you not do that this year?
Well, I mean, our packaging is very, I mean, you could just leave it right in.
That's
the
what
packaging.
I've been doing, yeah. It's a lovely little...
tissue paper and a nice bag.
Yeah.
And a sticker for the, you know, Vinecraft Collective. And, you know, always ask for the artist card so that you can get more information about that person. And then the other thing that we're doing this year is we're asking for compliments. I think talking about love.
Okay,
this
let's
is a good
hear.
Way to show the love is that if you do like someone's work, and you're buying, maybe you're buying something for the second or third time, go ahead and, you know, write down, I love somebody's scarves, or these bead earrings by Lori Schmidt are fantastic, you know, and I give them every year, they're always a hit, and I'm think they're going to be putting them near the displays.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't catch that. So I've been in a couple times already, so I'll have
to... Well, there's a box on the desk. It helps if the person behind the desk reminds you, but sometimes people are in a hurry. I don't always feel comfortable to ask them to stop and write something, but we do when we can, especially if somebody's really raving about someone's work. So
that's a great idea, and that helps the artist too, I think, to know what's popular, what they should maybe make more of, or what their people are interested in buying or want to see.
The other thing that we have, if you're shopping for yourself or if you're part of an ornament exchange, is several of the artists, including me, have ornaments for sale.
I think that's always the danger of shopping.
Yes.
Because then I think I'm going, you know, ostensibly down to buy my shopping for everyone else, and I end up going, well, I have to have that, you know, and I pick out maybe one for me and two gifts, or maybe it's two for me and one gift. Because there's so many incredible
it's
things.
It's deadly. Yes, it's so true.
And that's a great, great place to start your shopping. And I think sometimes we make shopping hard, and it doesn't have to be. You can get it done in a couple of trips. Northfield has incredible shops downtown. And First Friday Nights is a great way to come and experience Northfield. It's kind of a new thing that started. It's a First Friday Art Night. And so each time it's something a little different. There's always, I'm not even sure where they get details about what's happening specifically tonight.
Well, probably our Facebook page and the Vinecraft Collective page, possibly the Guild website too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of around town. I forgot to look that up, but I'm sure if you search First Friday Nights Northfield, First Friday
Perhaps
Art Night.
Perhaps the Chamber of Commerce website or what's the other one?
Northfield Downtown Development Corporation.
You always use the site.
We'll find it for you. I'm sorry I didn't get that printed up for you folks. I guess I didn't even think December 7th when I saw the date. I thought, well, I got a week.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't. It's already December 7th.
You're very busy this time of year, artists.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too, I would imagine, is you know, your holidays probably get shifted because you've got this space and you have to time all of your production to make sure that you have, you know, things for all of us to enjoy and buy.
I am 6 weeks out, usually.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and, in fact, I'm behind this year, so normally I have new stuff in for Winter Walk, which just happened, but I'm going to have to put a sign on my display saying when I'm doing my next kiln firing, but I have to accumulate enough work to fire a kiln. And he'll run down to the basement and whip something out. It drives me crazy.
That's true. That is the one of the things that is a disadvantage to being a ceramic artist.
Yeah. Different process for metalsmithing, yes.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that I wanted to point out, that whatever you see now in people's displays will be different in a couple of weeks, because we're all bringing in new stuff. So you never know. And whatever piece you looked at last week might not be there anymore.
I have learned my lesson with that. If I find something and then I say, oh, I think that, oh, then I wait and then I come back and it's...
Don't wait, especially because it's one of a kind.
Exactly. And so the other thing I wanted to think is, you, when I was looking at your jewelry last night, Juan, you were showing me a few of the new things that you're working on. So it'd be fun for some of the listeners to hear about that. And you also were telling me about quite an honor that you were able to have one of your pieces pictured in an upcoming, tell us about that.
Yeah, so my new work is, I've been doing a lot of wire work, cage work, and it's just soldering and fusing wire to create shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And those really are based on all of these agricultural industrial forms and things that I see around me. They are architectural,
mm-hmm.
but they're really just these little sculptural pieces. And
yeah, I wish we could have it's radio, so I'm trying to describe. I mean, it definitely looks like geometry in motion or some kind of beautiful reminder of you know, the bones of buildings,
yeah,
and
all of these,
but they're dainty, so it's not. Yeah. I mean, it's very elegant. It's sophisticated, so I can't imagine working it with those shapes, but I can see that that's where your eye creates and sees how things connect and you know, highlight different aspects of, and so I think it's just really incredible, and people should definitely come and see. The two that I wanted to talk about were the resin and the shells.
Oh, yeah. The resin is... So I have some pieces that are 3D printed resin. So I created a design, a model, my computer, and then sent it out to have printed in clear resin, and I have some black nylon pieces too. And they look like they are 3D printed. I didn't do anything to them to cover the fact that they are, because I'm actually, I really want people to know that that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they really represent something that is just being done right now. We just live in a certain time right now when that technology is really picking up, and it's just representative of that. And they're really in contrast with the handmade pieces.
Mm-hmm.
It's like two opposite things, but they still show the same design intent.
But he does tint some of the clear ones.
Yeah, I tint. Yeah, the clear ones I tint in what used to be mercurochrome, which is a topical antiseptic. As a kid, at least, you know, that's what I would, if I got cut or anything, my mom would put that on me. It was like this bright orange temporary tattoo, and it hurt like heck when it first went on, but after a while, look at me, I've got
badge of honor.
Right. Yeah.
So I've been putting that on it, and it gives it this pink orange color, which I really love.
I first noticed
it's surreal.
Your eye draws to it too, because it's a really appealing color. I heard the source, I was surprised.
Yeah.
He experimented with some other green one too that was also an antiseptic.
Yes, the brilliant green that's used in Russia as an antiseptic dye.
That's you're like a scientist, right?
Odd angle, but I really like it.
That's the odd thing. I mean, you know, Glynis will talk about her formulas for her glazes. All the potters do. You know, that's when I sort of leave the room.
His eyes start to roll up in his head.
So, metalsmithing too. I mean, there's a lot of it which has to do with physics and science and everything else. Glynis, when she was teaching pottery at schools, her curriculum involved not just history as part of, you know, pottery, but also science, math, all of these things are sort of related to it. It's an amazing thing. You know, art is not just creating something pretty, and it's, you know, it's creating stuff that's useful, that's meaningful, but it also is linked to just about everything that you.
And you don't want to poison your customer, so I mean, everything is food safe or, you know, pure silver, that kind of thing. You don't want to give someone an allergic reaction.
That's right.
So, you know, you can't just go in blindly. You have to be educated about it. You have to know what you're putting into these things that you're going to have people take home with them.
That, yeah, exactly. So when you said that, you know, the artist is, it's not just that time sitting there immersed in your making it. There's all the business that goes with it and all the processes and, you know, the oopses and the failures and everything that comes, or the, you know, the things that happen that you hadn't anticipated, especially with you ceramic artists and the kiln and the surprises.
It's
that just
always kind of a gamble.
Exactly. So the one thing I mentioned that we didn't talk about were the shells that you have, which surprised me.
My
that,
favorite thing.
Yeah, because they're from the Cannon River.
Yes, the Cannon River. If the water is low and you go on the river, any of the rivers that feed into the Mississippi and the Mississippi itself, you see the open shells of dead mussels.
Mm-hmm.
They're quite large. And the color is a pink violet color. And the thing about it is that what I learned is that there was a big button
industry
in this area. And what people would do, and it was a turn of this in 1900 to the 1920s, people would go, and it was like a rush. Everybody would go and get the live ones, unfortunately, you know, open them up, and then send them to places that would cut the round shapes for buttons. And then those would be sent down to Iowa or as far as St. Louis in order to do the final finishing of the buttons. All of the buttons around that time, or most of them, came from here.
I didn't know that about our history.
Yeah,
the color that is in your artwork is beautiful, and that is a complete surprise that that's a locally sourced item.
And sustainably sourced.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned that you find the ones that are open.
No clams were harmed in the making of this jewelry.
Right, no.
Which is important for people to know that, but it's a surprise for people to know that that's something around here, because the luster on it, and you don't think of the river waters
being sort of murky and not very attractive sometimes, but
yeah, those are our jewels, our natural ones, you know, and they're related to the river, to the water that is all around us,
very much part of Northfield identity, you
mm-hmm.
know, and so again, talking about moving here and place, that's very much part of it, is, you know, what is in our environment that inspires us, just walking along the river, you know, and suddenly here's this jewel.
That's a great surprise. Yeah. And to have your eyes open and to be able to create another beautiful piece out of that is extraordinary.
And you'll see that most of the work that you see by artists at the Craft Collective, it does reflect our local scene.
For example, Barbara Zavaruja does a lot of prairie grasses that she sources from her own place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just exquisite. I mean, the care she takes and the detail that she raises in these pressed grasses, it's just exquisite.
Yeah, she does it on the ceramic pieces.
Yeah.
And sometimes
she has these trays of grasses that are just really spectacular, and the craftsmanship in making the tray is also amazing.
And then if you look at Dave Peterson's and Reed Hendershot's woodwork, the woods that they use are locally sourced. They're things that, you know, friends might have had a branch come down, or so those are examples of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ways that place, I think that's, you know, placemaking is such a term that's being used a lot, and I'm still trying to wrap my head, you know, trying to learn what that means and how that influences our art, but those are, I think, some of the ways that, you know, where you're rooted, and you can look, you think you need to look outside, but sometimes you just need to look right down, you know, where you are.
Well, and that brings us back to love, you know, the love of this place, the love of the prairie, the love of nature and of the river and of all the bounty and resources that we find around us, and the love of the community that we're part of, too. You mm-hmm. know, we inspire each other, too. I found myself sort of holding back. I could gush on about all my fellow potters' influences, but... We'll save that because we have a show coming up in the spring.
That's right. We'll be talking about that.
It's called Place.
we'll explore it in greater depths for sure. And I think that that's one thing that's exciting is learning what's happening. And I think that to see what you're creating that's new. And so we started talking a little bit about your studio spaces and how you both keep them so different, which I was surprised to learn that, Glynis, you were the neat one. And Juan, you're the one who's messy. What is on your workspace now? And
oh my gosh,
I'm curious about the tools that you're finding exciting to use right now.
Well, first of all, I think you should know that we both have quite a multitude of cat studio assistants.
Oh.
Yes. They've invaded
our
spaces.
Cats make great artists.
I actually have a couple pieces of paw prints in them, and I was like, oh, fine, I'll just fire this on the backside. No, what I have on my workspace now, first of all, at this point in the year, I always have a huge pile of wood in my studio waiting to be burned to keep me warm. Mm. And I have a hot pot to warm up my throwing water because it just gets so cold.
Oh, that you have to have your hands in.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the hard part. Throwing in this weather in a poorly heated space really takes its toll on my hands. But I've got a lot of work that has to be done for NCECA, which is the National Clay Educators Convention something, A, I don't know what the A is, of America perhaps, is coming to Minnesota, Minneapolis in March, at the end of March. And so there are going to be a lot of shows. I have to make that work now because I don't want to be working in my studio in January, February. And so I'm trying to get it all fired before Christmas. So my studio is just packed with stuff right now. And
what would be a surprising tool that somebody would say, wow, I never thought about using that on clay? That you have.
Well, it's funny because I'm not actually using it currently, but I just, in my wood foraging, I found these pieces of wood that have the worm marks on them, and I set them aside. I didn't burn them because I thought they'd be so cool to use them as a rolling pin and have that pattern of the wormy tracks pressed into the clay. And I'm trying to think of what else do I use that's unusual. I know there's a couple other things that are weird that I was like, oh, I've got to use this. How about you?
What tools are you working with or wanting to you know, keep practicing and playing with?
Well, it's always fun to find jewelers have a lot of pliers, all sorts of different pliers, and sometimes it's fun to find ones that do exactly what you've been trying to do. One set of pliers that does what you were trying to do with three or four, and a hammer and a vise and everything else. So, and there's some ingenious things that people have invented that there's one thing that's you put a wire in, and you just press on the pliers and it cuts the end. It makes a loop and then presses it down so that it's ready to solder, just to make this little loop at the end of the. So, wow.
So like just one press, and then it's like a little machine in your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I love it because it, you know, it cuts down on the amount of work that I need to do. But every time I press on, I'm just amazed by somebody invented this ingenuity, the thinking that went into this, and I, you know, really just appreciate that. It's wonderful.
Yeah, that is actually another contrast. He has to have a lot of specially made tools that are specially made for jewelry, and half of my stuff is like, ooh, dry cleaning bags. How exciting, because you can cover the pots with them, or baker racks, or like I have these weird little drying racks that are probably for baking that stack up that I use for drying pots. And then, yeah, one of the other weird tools I have is I was at the baking section of Target, and they had these three cake decorating things that I don't know what to call them besides ribs, which is how I use them. And I use them for throwing bowls. Like when I'm throwing.
Oh, so when you're frosting and you have the sort of like a handle and you can spin your cake on the platter and make those lines.
And these have a steel shank but a rubber cover, and they're like ideal for throwing. I don't know what they're doing. And there's a set of three. I was so excited. So I send all my students to Target to get the cake decorating ribs.
And they're probably thinking, wow, we got to go buy more baking stuff and bring a bigger line, and not realizing it's all clay artists.
Exactly.
I think that spirit of play and openness, and you know, that is really an important part of being an artist, that you have to have that. One, so that you mentioned, you know, you don't want to get bored with your work. You don't want to be a mass production, you know, constantly doing exactly the same thing. And you want to just, you know, advance things, try things, see what happens. And being in a place where that can happen and that's encouraged is important. I'm so excited to hear about all these things. That's why I like to ask about what's on people's studio tables, because you just never know what.
I just remembered I also, on my actual studio table, is a light fixture that came from the ceiling, and it's this very, very smooth. It's, if you were looking at it in profile, it's a U. And I use it if my cups get out of round. I just put it in there.
And light fixture? And,
yeah, it's just a glass cover, and it doesn't leave any marks on the cup. But, you know, if you lift the cup off the wheel head, sometimes it ovals a little bit from the, because it's very, very soft and wet when you take it off from throwing it. And so I just use that to round them back, set them back into round. It's like, what is that? It's like, what's a light fixture? I use it every day.
Who would have known?
Yeah.
And now you can pass that on to, as someone who's trying to, so you discovered it, and now someone else who's like, I always have that problem,
yes.
Right? And now they know. And I think that's part of that community that happens.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We exchange recipes. You know, I go get with these old guys up in the city, and they're like, oh yes, you have to have my recipe for my silver, you know, breaking glaze or something like that, and scribbles it down on a piece of paper, and that happens a lot.
That's what Juan was talking about when you get into your chemistry glaze talking.
Yes.
Discussions. Well, I just really enjoy talking with you. I think we should mention again the Fine Craft Collective, which is the website, finecraftcollective.com. The Facebook page is just Fine Craft Collective. You can search that out. The current year, the sale.
This is our third year in that space.
Yeah, it seems to be a really good fit, and that is at the Northfield Arts Guild Gallery, because people may remember in past years, if there was an empty space in town for retail,
right,
you would take over the space and turn it into
a shop
for the holidays. And now it's at the Northfield Arts Guild Gallery, which is right downtown Northfield on Division Street. Look for the purple door, and you know, it's open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday, and Sundays from 12 to 4. There's another special event we want to get on people's calendars as well, which is the Holiday Open House. And that is Saturday, December 16th, which you may think is a long ways away, but you are wrong. It is exactly right. It's next weekend, and that runs from 10 to 6. Tell us what the open house usually is. It's just a festive way for people to, again, more of the artists will be there.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about any of the work, you know, they'll be there. We'll be there tonight, too, talking about how things are made. And, you know, Paul, you were saying if you go in and you find that thing you wanted last week is gone, sometimes you can get the artist to make another one.
That's
true.
You know,
very similar to it.
Or you could say, okay, I can't do it for Christmas this year, but I'm going to get it for the birthday gift.
Right.
And put in, you know, a lot of artists will.
Or get a gift certificate that says, hey, your special mug is coming, you know.
That's a great idea,
yeah,
too. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
but then
I tell people to do that a lot because of my firing schedule. I can't always get it to them in time if they ask me too late. So I say, well, we'll make up a special card that says, this is what you're going to be getting.
Right. Oh, that's a lovely idea.
Of course, then if it blows up in the kiln, then you really have a problem. I usually make two or three of commissions so that I'm sure to have one.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else we missed?
No, that's all I wanted to talk about was that if you come in tonight to the Meet the Artists gathering, then that's a good time to find out more about anybody's work, you know, how they work and what materials are in it, that kind of thing, what inspires them. Sometimes finding out what inspires somebody is makes you want to have their work more. It makes it a lot more meaningful. You know, you look at that piece that you bought and you think, oh, I remember I had such a good conversation with that artist.
That's one of the things I love is being able to have those around me so it feels like I'm, you know, never alone, right? You've mm-hmm. got a story mm-hmm. to tell when you're, and you serve this and you say, this is the, you know, bowl that Glynis made or.
Yeah, and this is what Glynis was thinking when she, you know, these are her chickens.
That's right. Or octopus.
Oh, well, I don't own an octopus, although that'd be really fun.
Maybe they keep showing up in your work.
I know.
I saw the Christmas bells.
I did do some very weird octopus Christmas bells this year. I just hope people will pick them up and ring them.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. And I love seeing you together. It's such a joy to have you in the studio because maybe people don't, you have different last names. People
we
might
do,
not
that's
even
right.
know that you're a couple. So.
A married couple, two kids, grown up. Empty nesting now.
And full-time artists.
Yeah,
what a great, great story. Thank you so much for being here, Glynis Lessing and Juan Fried of the Fine Craft Collective. It's just a pleasure. I love hearing their stories.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Paul.
You're welcome.
It's always a pleasure to come in and see you.
That's what I love is just hopefully we've inspired some people to come shopping, to make something, to spread the love. And folks, there's a lot of love happening at this time of the season, so I've got a couple of things I need to mention that I want to be sure you hear about. One of them is the Art Makers Presents Just So Stories, which is happening tonight. This must be a part of the First Friday Arts in Northfield. This is the Art Makers Big Holiday Show. It's a Rudyard Kipling family Christmas featuring classic tales with music, puppetry, magic, and a ukulele choir, which sounds so fun. They call themselves the Ukestra, which is pretty awesome. That's I forgot to write down the name of the studio right down the end. Martha Larson, the Hotspot Music. I forgot to write down where it is. That's not really good if you don't know where to go. But Hotspot Music right at the end of Division. Really great, great place for local musicians. This is the Art Makers Presents Just So Stories Friday at 7 and then again it's Saturday at 1 p.m. So it's free. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Paradise Center for the Arts is having an acoustic gallery a night with beer, carols, and ugly sweaters. What else could you ask for? That's Monday night at 6 p.m. at the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault. I hope you'll join them. And don't forget to get your tickets to A Christmas Story, which is one of my favorite holiday. I had guests on the show last week. I adore this movie, and I can't wait to see the play. It's about 9-year-old Ralphie Parker in his quest to get a genuine Red Ryder BB gun under the tree for Christmas. And he tries everything to plead his case. It's funny. It's charming. It's a great family story. So that runs for 2 weekends. It opens tonight and then runs the second weekend as well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday shows are at 2, Friday, Saturday, and Thursday are at 7:30. So, folks, check out the Northfield Arts Guild for that. You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination. I hope you don't forget to add Art Zany to your life, and please remember to enjoy your imagination.
You've been listening to Art Zany, Radio for the Imagination, with your host, Paula Granquist. Art Zany is brought to you each week by the Northfield Arts Guild and by the Paradise Center for the Arts in Faribault.
Connect and experience art at the Northfield Arts Guild. Visit our galleries, arts festival, and take in a performance at our theater featuring a full season of dramas, comedies, and musicals. The Guild's gift shop showcases unique art from over 100 local and regional member artists. Come enjoy music from the Cannon Valley Regional Orchestra or the 411 Concert Series. We invite you to explore your creativity in one of our classes. All are welcome at the Northfield Arts Guild. To learn how you can be a part, visit northfieldartsguild.org or call 507-645-887.